The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a caring and inclusive church seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at our church at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and online at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed by this message.
The gospel reading today is John 14, 15 to 21. I won't leave you as orphans. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of Truth, whom the whole world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Thanks be to God.
So, you know I love music. You probably know me well enough to know that music is incredibly important to me. And not just me, my whole family. We all sing. We're always singing something. I'm not saying it always sounds good, but we're always singing something. One of our favorite family activities is karaoke, right? We get all of us in a car and we go driving. We don't have any particular destination. We're not going anywhere in particular. Sometimes we make up an excuse like, well, let's go get ice cream. But, you know, instead of the 2 miles to the ice cream shop, it takes like 16 miles going the long way around. And what we do while we're driving is we sing in the car. We just sing. Music is important to us. Songs are important to us. Not that we always sing what the artist intended when we sing the song. Sometimes we change the words, right? Sometimes it's just for fun, right? Sometimes we just enjoy hearing the different words. You've all heard the Clearwater Revival classic, Bad Moon Rising. Have you ever looked up misheard song lyrics on the internet? And you probably know them. I would have assumed that you would have. Anyway, it goes like this. Don't go around tonight. Well, it's bound to take your life. There's a bathroom on the right. And now you're never going to be able to hear it any other way than that ever again. I have fixed that song for you. That's one of the most famous of the misheard lyrics out there. There are others, many of which we can't sing in church. But sometimes when we're driving, we change the lyrics because ours are just better. Because it turns out we're better songwriters than those people who've made millions of dollars and become world famous. Have you ever heard of a duet called England Dan and John Ford Coley? Right? They have this song that we really enjoy called I'd Really Love to See You Tonight. Do you know that song? The chorus goes, I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life, but there's a warm wind blowing, the stars around, and I'd really love to see you tonight. And that's pretty, right? But what does blowing the stars around mean? Like, what does that even mean? There's a warm wind blowing the stars around. I don't understand that. But I think what England Dan and John Ford Coley meant to write was this. I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life. But there's a warm wind blowing and the stars are out, and I'd really love to see you tonight. Right? There's a warm wind blowing, and the sky is clear, and the stars are out, and it's the perfect night for a romantic walk on the beach. You're welcome, England Dan and John Ford Coley. No royalties required. I'm just happy to help. You know the band Orleans? You know them. They played here, right?
They did a DVD here.
Yeah. Well, Orleans, they have this one song. It was one of their biggest hits. It was called Dance With Me. You remember that song? Dance with me. I want to be your partner. Can't you see? You know that song? Well, the second verse, it goes like this. Fantasy could never be so killing. I feel free. I hope that you are willing to pick the beat up and kick your feet up. Dance with me, right? Fantasy could never be so killing? I mean, does that sound delightful to you? No, clearly what they meant to write was, fantasy could never be so thrilling. I feel thrilling, right? That's better, right? It's not dangerous. I don't want my fantasies to be dangerous. So when we karaoke, that's what we sing. Sometimes we just change words because of the way they affect us. There's one in particular, another duet that you might have heard of, Simon and Garfunkel. You ever hear of Simon? Right, that was a joke, by the way. So this song was actually written by Paul Simon to be a gospel song. It was meant to be a gospel song. So when you hear the thread of grace and love in this particular tune, it's not a mistake or coincidence. This was a hymn. In fact, Paul Simon referred to it as a little hymn that he wrote. And he didn't think much about it. And after hearing his little hymn, Art Garfunkel convinced him to write a third verse. And Simon thought the final cut was too grandiose and orchestral, and it would never become a hit. Well, he wasn't right about that. He was wrong. This little hymn was called Bridge Over Troubled Water. And the second verse starts like this. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. And those are beautiful words. I mean, beyond a doubt, they're beautiful words. But that's not how I hear or sing this song. I hear it and sing it like this. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will come for you. In a way, that's almost the same thing. I will comfort you. I will come for you. Because there's something powerful. There's something deeply powerful and profoundly moving, profoundly affecting in the knowledge that someone somewhere who cares for us deeply will come for us in our time of need. In fact, I think that might be the most comforting thing of all. And it's pervasive, whether it's in songs or, you know, altered songs, or whether it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator telling Sarah Connor, I'll be back. Or I'm rereading Stephen King's epic, The Dark Tower series, and one book, the young boy Jake is taken by some evil people, and as they're dragging him away, the gunslinger Roland Deschain, who can't stop it from happening, looks at the boy and says, Jake, I will come for you. And he knows it's going to be okay. Being reminded that someone, that even though they may have to go, that they may have to leave, that they'll be back, that we're not alone, that the spirit of love that upholds us will also reunite us. When the person, even someone who's leaving us now, when that person comes back, when they return to us, it reminds us that they will come for us. I will come for you. That's enough to keep us going. No, it's more. It's enough to inspire us. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. Today's readings are a continuation of last week's readings called the Farewell Discourse of Jesus. The last words that Jesus would use to teach the 11 disciples who remained with him after the Last Supper. He spoke these words knowing that the time had come when he was going to be taken and he was going to be murdered. And over again, Jesus had told them that he was going to have to go, that he was going to be killed, but they kept not getting it. They didn't understand it. But here at the end, in the last, they finally started just a little bit to hear what he was saying. They'd just begun to ask the question, who is it, Jesus? Who will betray you? Jesus said, the one who I give the bread after I dip it. And then spite of everything else, in spite of the fact that Judas was about to betray him, in spite of the fact that everything was going to go wrong, Jesus dipped the bread. And he fed Judas first of all. And Judas went out to do what he intended to do. And the disciples finally started to get it. Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you can't follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll give up my life for you." They were finally starting to get it. There at the end. And so them just on the cusp of understanding, Jesus talked to them. He taught them one last time before he was arrested. And in the midst of their growing pain and uncertainty and the fear, you know, what would become of them? What would become of their movement? What would become of their lives? In the midst of all of that, Jesus said to them, reaching into the heart of their desperation, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but don't worry. I won't leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Yes, I am going, and nothing can stop that now, but I'm coming back. I'm coming to you. I'm coming for you." And even though they would suffer in the interim, even though their days would be uncertain and remain so, even though the fear that they felt at that moment would continue to be fear they would feel through the rest of their ministries, these words were of a comfort that couldn't be overridden or overcome by any of the powers of the world. Because these words demonstrated to the followers of Jesus that they, the followers, the disciples of Jesus, would never be forgotten by Jesus. Even though Jesus was, in his own words, right, gone from their sight, "Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me," they would be unforgotten. You've heard the phrase, out of sight, out of mind. But in those words, Jesus told them that he might be out of their sight, but they would never be out of his mind or his heart. Forever, they would remain unforgotten. In a world that seems to forget everything, civil discourse, care, trust, even the gift of presence, how life-changing was it for them to know, disciples to know, how life-changing is it for us to know that we are not forgotten, even by the one whom our own human arrogance and violence and lust for power and resistance to change put to death? Being remembered is a powerful gift. Our Jewish sisters and brothers have a saying that they use in times of mourning for someone who has passed beyond the veil. My Hebrew pronunciation is terrible, but I think it goes something like Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And it means, may the memory of the righteous be a blessing. And so when they're in mourning, they'll say to each other, may their memory be a blessing. We know the power of being remembered. We know the power of remembrance. We know the power of being unforgotten. Don't we share that power? Every single time we come to the table of grace and we take that meal and we share the bread and we share the cup and we remember that Jesus told his followers, do this every time that you eat of it, every time that you drink of it, in remembrance of me. To be unforgotten is a powerful thing. You know, just a few verses later, than today's reading, Jesus would teach his followers about the coming of what the Common English Bible calls the companion, what the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible calls the advocate, what Old King Jimmy calls the comforter, but they all also call the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in those few verses later, would teach them that the Holy Spirit would come to each of them, to all of them, teach them everything. And it would remind them of all that Jesus himself had taught them. Because there is power in being remembered. There's power in being unforgotten. And there's comfort. There's strength. There's courage, compassion, and mercy, and fellowship, and community, and joy, and love, and holy inspiration. And knowing that the one whom we love, the one to whom we offer prayers and praise and song and thanksgiving, the one whom we worship, remembers us too. And we know he remembers us. We know he'll always remember us, that we will never be forgotten because he has promised that he's coming back. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you with me so that where I am, there you will be too. Jesus will remember us. Jesus will always remember us. We will never be forgotten. Jesus will come for each of us, for all of us in our time, full of love and full of grace and full of mercy, full of forgiveness and full of joy for each one of us. And we know Jesus will come because Jesus has promised, and Jesus is always faithful, and Jesus never forgets. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we are so grateful that you told us you'd be coming for us and taking us into the house of God. We are grateful that you remember us, that we are unforgotten. And we pray that you strengthen our hearts and embolden our faith so that in the community we serve, in the love that we show others in your name, we will show the world that you are not forgotten either by us. Amen.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.